If you own a vehicle with less than 200,000 miles and have an auto warranty about to expire or no warranty coverage at all, listen up. CarShield has a low-cost, month-to-month vehicle protection plan that covers more parts than ever. Visit carshield.com/audio to find out how you could pay almost nothing for covered auto repairs. Drivers who activate this vehicle protection today will also receive free roadside assistance, free towing, and car rental options at no additional cost. Get your free quote today at carshield.com/audio. That's carshield.com/audio.
Save big money on your outdoor project now at Menards. We have everything you need to keep your outdoor power equipment running smooth, so you can keep that lawn in tip-top shape or enjoy some time on your boat. Right now, all FVP, lawn and garden, and marine batteries are on sale through May 5th. Check out our entire selection of FVP batteries today and view our weekly flyer on Menards.com for more great deals.
Save big money at Menards.
Are you ready?
Hey, think you could tell us what to do? You think you could tell us what to wear? You think that you're better? Well, you better get ready. Bow to the masters. Break it down!
DFS, DGen Nation, what is up? What is happening? We are on to the divisional round of the playoffs. Wild card week is in the books. And I think we got a pretty good solid slate here of games. Four-game slate here, starting things off with, it's going to be Houston and Baltimore on Saturday. And then we got Green Bay and San Francisco on Saturday night. And then Tampa Bay, Detroit on Sunday, followed by Kansas City and Buffalo wrapping up the 5:30 game. A lot of different narratives for this slate. Totals are pretty good, too. You have the San Francisco-Green Bay game that is up to a 50.5-point total. And then Detroit game is 48.5, followed by the Chiefs game and the Bills, which is 45.5. And then the lowest is the Texans and Ravens, which is a 43.5-point total. A couple of these games we've already seen once this year. The Lions already played the Bucks earlier in the season. And then we also had the Ravens played the Texans earlier in the year, and obviously the Chiefs played the Bills. So a lot of these teams have already, we've already had a little bit of action against these teams, but I'm excited for this slate because pricing, I think, makes things a little bit interesting. We really only have one true decision, I think, in terms of like a major pay up, and that's Christian McCaffrey, who's 8,800. But I mean, the quarterbacks, you have, so let's start there where we always start at, but which is going to be the key to every slate for the most part. And you have Josh Allen, who is 8K, Lamar Jackson, who is 79, followed by Mahomes, who is, I don't know when the last time he was this cheap at 6,800. The last time he was under 7K may have been his rookie year. The last time he was under $7,000. But and then you have CJ Stroud at 6,700, Brock Purdy, 65, Goff, 63, Jared Love at 62, and then 6K for Baker Mayfield here in these matchups. And so I think there's a couple really different ways that you can go here in terms of building, but what are you looking at here in terms of the quarterbacks?
Yeah. So I really like the loading up on the idea of loading up on every part of San Francisco. I think Green Bay's defense is a liability for them. And I have confidence that their offense should be able to move the ball a little bit. So I think that if there was going to be a game that ends up in a back and forth this weekend, I would say it's either San Francisco and Green Bay or Detroit and Tampa Bay. But I think I have more confidence in the San Fran Green Bay game turning into a back and forth shootout. And even if it doesn't, San Francisco coming off a bye, they came off a bye earlier this year against Jacksonville in week 10 and they won 31-3. That offense is just going to be rolling. Green Bay's defense just has not been good down the stretch. They're one of the worst. And I mean, Dallas put up points on them last week. It was just Dallas's issue was their defense, right? Like the defense gave up points after points, after points, after points, and never made any stops. So, I mean, Dak pretty much was playing catch up from you know, the first quarter. But I mean, even with that, you know, Dallas being one dimensional, they were still able to move the ball and score points. So I like Purdy at 6,500. He's pretty much, I think, the best bet for 25 points here on this slate. And I don't know that we're going to get a 30 plus point game on this slate from a QB like we had last week with like Josh Allen and Dak. I think that Kansas City Buffalo game is going to play a little gross. It's, you know, outside of, you know, the last, was it 30 seconds of that one game, you know, Kansas City Buffalo has historically played to like that 24-20 score. Like the defenses are, for both teams, have been playing well this year. It's in Buffalo, you know, where Buffalo's defense plays better. You know, Kansas City's offense hasn't looked great from a ceiling perspective this year. And I mean, even Buffalo at times has shown that, you know, they'll turn the ball over as well, despite moving the ball a ton and putting up a ton of yards. And I mean, Buffalo almost lit Pittsburgh into that game last week. And it's because, you know, their offense just, you know, stopped scoring. So I just think that game plays a little lower scoring, and it's one of the lower totals games of the week. It's at 45.5. So that checks in as number three. So for me, it's either Purdy or Love or Goff or Baker. The question I think for Goff is if you believe his recent success against the Blitz. He played Denver and put up 31, and then played Minnesota and put up 23. And he also played this Tampa Bay team earlier this year and put up 25. And we know Tampa Bay is going to bring the Blitz. And I mentioned Denver and Minnesota because those are also two other teams that blitz at a league high rate. So historically, Goff has not been great against the Blitz, but, you know, over the second half of the season and playing Tampa Bay earlier this year, you know, he's shown the ability to be effective against it. And you look at this matchup for Detroit when they played Tampa earlier this year, they ran the ball only like 20, it was in the low 20s, and then Goff threw it 44 times. So, you know, they were planning to throw that game. They threw it the entire game, and I would expect a lot of the same here. You know, when the Eagles were being interviewed about why they didn't run the ball against Tampa Bay in the game last week, they said that Tampa Bay presents, you know, fronts that you just simply can't run on, and a lot of that was Tampa Bay just lined up saying, we're bringing the house, and you're not going to run on us, and you know, you're just going to have to throw it deep to beat us. And I think if Tampa Bay comes out with that same approach, it's going to result in big plays for Detroit. You know, Amon-Ra one-on-one, that's not something as a defense that, you know, I have confidence in being able to stop. Even Jameson Williams, right? Like that's definitely a deep ball threat and a guy that should be on the field a ton. And should be able to, you know, take advantage of a team that's running a cover zero blitz. You know, some deep targets there to Jameson Williams, and Josh Reynolds is another one as well. So if I haven't seen if Khalif Raymond get put on IR? I don't even know. Is there IR at this point in the year?
Yeah, he's on IR.
Yeah. So if he's got a Q tag, he's not practicing though. He's non-participant. So if he's out, I think it just solidifies Reynolds and Jameson Williams into their roles. As opposed to those guys rotating a little bit. And I just like Detroit passing offense as a whole. It's just going to come down to whether you want to play, you know, Purdy or Goff, or I think Love. I do think Baker's in play. The Detroit pass defense has not been good, and Baker has looked pretty solid. I just don't know, from a pay-up perspective, I just don't know if I can pay the 7,200 for Mike Evans. Because I want to play Amon-Ra, I want to play McCaffrey, and Evans is kind of in no man's land for me. And if I'm not playing Evans, I definitely can't play Baker. Because I don't want to play Godwin. I don't want to play Otten. And those are really the only two guys. I guess you can make an argument for Trey Palmer, but you don't need Baker for Palmer either. So it's tough for me to get to Baker, but I don't hate it.
So the thing with Detroit is the Detroit pass defense has been really bad, but the one thing they have done a really good job at is limiting teams from scoring touchdowns. They have not been doing that. They have been getting up a ton of yardage. It's just teams have not been getting there. They buckle down once, kind of a bend don't break defense. for Detroit. And so that's why I don't really love Tampa Bay here in this spot. I think when you're looking at these games, I think the game that I agree, but what only thing that worries me with the Green Bay San Francisco game is a couple of things, because both the Packers have been, since week 9, they are top 3 in pressure rate. They rush the quarterback, they pressure the quarterback at 43%, which is the third highest rate in the league. And we know Brock Purdy tends to at times struggle against pressure. It's kind of, a few weeks ago when they played Baltimore, that was the thing that I wasn't really, when everybody wanted to play him on that, what was that? I think that was the Christmas Day slate. I didn't have any of them because I felt like Baltimore was going to be able to get home, and they did. And they really wrecked Brock Purdy. And Brock Purdy hasn't been great in games that, especially they've had to trail and they have to come back from. And if the Packers were able to get out to an early lead, I think that would be very big issues with San Francisco. San Francisco really plays very balanced, and they really want to run the ball. I mean, that's really what they want to do. I mean, they're 32nd in the league and pass plays per game. So they're not a team that throws the ball a ton. They've gotten there through the ultra efficiency of how good this offense is with, you know, Debo Samuel and Brandon Ayuk and George Kittle and obviously Christian McCaffrey, but that's what worries me. And I know the San Francisco is 9.5-point favorite, so it sets up to be that, but it's hard to deny how good the Packers offense has been really for the last, you know, couple of months of the season. I mean, Jordan Love has arguably been one of the best quarterbacks in the league over that span, and he's only $6,200. And I think a lot of people are just going to completely overlook Green Bay. Oh, this is completely different. This is San Francisco. I'm not playing them. The problem is here is that San Francisco's secondary is trash. Like, they are not good. Their secondary is not great. Outside of really Charvarius Ward, they don't really have anybody that you're really afraid of. And if they can't get pressure on Jordan Love, it's going to be a problem. And Green Bay's offensive line has, especially their against the pass, have been phenomenal this year. They've done a very good job with that, which we saw it against the Dallas Cowboys. They really didn't allow a whole lot of pressure. And if that's the case, I think this team could throw all over San Francisco. And so that would be the only thing that would concern me. But I do think that's why I think when you look at Green Bay, I think Jordan Love is, once again, a very easy, cheap stack to get to because the rest of the pass catchers are super cheap. You have Jaden Reed, who's 5,200, and Romeo Doubs is 5,600. The only thing that I think you can make a case for is it's hard to really, you know, because they have so many different options that they tend to spread the ball around. I mean, Romeo Doubs last week, I know, went nuclear with 6 catches, 151 yards, and a score. But that was by far the biggest game he's had all year. I mean, that's really the only, I think, what? That's the only game he's had all year where he scored above 20 DK points. So this isn't something that really we should have saw coming. But I still think Jaden Reed is in a phenomenal spot here. The 49ers run cover 3 and cover 4 nearly 60% of the time. Jaden Reed has been the best wide receiver against both of those coverages on this team.
I don't know why he's $5,200.
Well, I think some of it's because, I mean, obviously he was a little frustrating. He only saw in that offensive explosion, he only saw 3 targets and had 0 catches. I had a lot of Jaden Reed, but I'm going to go right back to the well. I don't care. They dropped him down to $5,200. And so Romeo Doubs is back to being more expensive than he is. So I like Romeo, or I do like Jaden Reed. I'm going to have no problem going there. I think it's kind of an easy stack. You go Jordan Love, Jaden Reed, and then I think from there, if you want to run it back, I think you can run it back with Christian McCaffrey. It's an easy way to fit him in and get a little bit different, because I don't think a lot of people are going to play Jordan Love, and I think that's a mistake. I think there's a legitimate shot that Green Bay can beat San Francisco. I don't think it's crazy. The other thing that does worry me a little bit is just more narrative based, but How rusty are these offenses? I mean, with Green or with San Francisco and Baltimore, both these teams have been off for nearly 3 weeks because they sat week 18. They didn't play last week. And we kind of see it a lot where these teams come out and they just look flat because they've been out for so long. And so that worries me a little bit as well. But because I just don't think that if you can get pressure on Brock Purdy, that's where problems are going to come. So that's what worries me. And then another game that's kind of similar, Houston has really been ramping up. I mean, they've been getting home a lot. We saw them kind of wreck shop last week. They absolutely annihilated that Green Bay or that Cleveland defense that we all thought was phenomenal. Now, I will say Cleveland's defense on the road was a problem. They allowed 30 points per game on the road compared to at home. So, but regardless, CJ Stroud, $6,700. Nico Collins is in a good spot. You see Marlon Humphrey is going to be out for this game. That's going to hurt that secondary that they have. Their secondary is not that great to begin with. But, you know, Marlon Humphrey, really where they win as well is being able to get pressure on the quarterback. If C.J. Stroud can withstand that, I think Stroud, you know, could be another spot we look at $6,700. Pair him. It's a very easy spot to pair him with. Noah Brown was placed on IR. It's kind of thin here with who you'd want to pair him with. I think it's Nico Collins. You could look at Dalton Schultz. But I also think the other option you could look at would be John Mechie as a cheaper option. He actually ran the second most routes last week, but he's $3,400. I think you could look there as well. He doesn't have so three catches, 44 yards in that game last week against the Browns. So I think you could look there if you're wanting a pay down option. John Mechie could be that guy. So I think both of those quarterbacks, Stroud and Jaden Reed, I think are very easy plays. I agree with you on the Chiefs and Bills game. That game just, I know we had that game where it absolutely went nuclear, but it was all at the very end of that game. And that was one of the craziest games we've ever seen. I mean, that could definitely happen again with these two teams, but I don't expect it. I mean, the Chiefs' defense has been phenomenal this year. They have really shut down opposing number one wide receivers. I mean, nobody's done anything against them. I mean, Tyreek Hill had the one catch, 50 yards. But other than that, he was pretty much goose egg the rest of the game. He was definitely not somebody that you wanted to play last week. So, but Stephon Diggs isn't somebody that I'm really all that concerned with. And they may even be without Gabe Davis. We'll have to see on that if he's able to. He was a non-participant again today. That's going to hurt this team, especially when you could take away Stephon Diggs. So it's going to have to the one saving grace, I think, for the argument for Josh Allen is his rushing ability, right? We saw it last week, 74 rushing yards. He had eight carries. You know, once you get to the playoffs, they're really going to ramp that up more. And so I think that is a way he could get there. He scored three touchdowns last week on only 203 passing yards. Still scored 33 DK points, four total touchdowns. Josh Allen's always in play because of his rushing upside. But I think, honestly, I think the play might be you just play Josh Allen naked and don't play him with anybody else. You don't have to worry about trying to get that right of who it's going to be. You know, is it going to be Khalil Shakir or is it going to be, you know, a Dalton Kincaid or, you know, a touchdown to Dawson Knox? I think just play Josh Allen naked and keep it moving because he can get there in so many different ways. And the offense pretty much runs through Josh Allen. So if you're going to play him, I think you just play him naked. I don't think you have to play him with anybody. And as far as the Chiefs are concerned, it's kind of the same thing. You know, Patrick Mahomes, really, you have to go all the way back to the end of the year to find a true ceiling game from him when he's against the Chargers in week 7, where he scored 37 DK points. Other than that, it just really hasn't got there. Now, I will say the Bills injury report is a little rough. They are going to be without some pieces here. Their safety, Taylor Rapp, has not practiced at all this week. Christian Benford, their corner, has not practiced. Terrell Bernard also hasn't practiced at all this week, along with Gabe Davis hasn't practiced. Now, they did get Rasul Douglas back, who missed last week. He's been limited both days as well. So he sounds like he should be okay. And Tyrell Dotson as well has gotten in limited practices. So those guys sound like they're going to be okay here for this matchup. But other than that, you know, I think I'd rather have pieces from this game than I would rather, you know, game sack this game. And could this game go nuclear? Yes. But I do think that I just don't think it's a matchup here that you just have to go all in on. I think I would just get some pieces, whether it's Rashee Rice, whether it's Isaiah Pacheco, or like I said, Josh Allen, I think is a way you could look too. But as far as the quarterbacks, like I said, I think those are the ones that I'm going to have the most interest in. Jared Goff is very interesting at $6,300. He's also on the cheaper side. Tampa Bay's pass defense has been dreadful. The Eagles just look like they were just checked out, like they had no interest in winning that game. It was embarrassing to watch that. The fact that they couldn't do absolutely nothing. But I think this is a completely different matchup here. But regardless of that, I think that's kind of where I'm going to look at a quarterback. It's going to be Josh Allen, and it's going to be Jordan Love. And then I'm going to have some C.J. Stroud as well, because I think all of them are options here I really like. Let's move over to running back. And I think this is going to be an interesting spot to talk about because you have the Christian McCaffrey. Do you play him or do you not at $8,800? Kind of like Tyreek Hill was last week. In kind of a similar situation, or I guess CeeDee Lamb would probably be a better argument to make there because nobody was really wanting to play Tyreek Hill. But and then you have Aaron Jones, who has been on a heater the last month of the season. $6,700 he is, and then Jahmyr Gibbs is $6,600. Rashad White is $6,500. Isaiah Pacheco is $6,400. James Cook is $6,300. David Montgomery is $6,100. And then Gus Edwards, Devin Singletary, you know, Justice Hill, guys like that are in the 5K range. So what are you looking to do at running back?
I'm playing McCaffrey. I think that this is a 35-point spot for him. And I don't think anybody else has the ceiling that he does on this slate outside of Amon-Ra. So I'm just going to click the button on McCaffrey and figure out, you know, who my running back two is. It's just a lot of these guys are just projected as like very average for me this week. Like none of these guys, I mean, they all have good roles, but none of them are in good spots. Like Aaron Jones obviously is, you know, has a very, very good role, you know, with AJ Dillon possibly out again. But at the same time, like Dallas has been gashed. We've seen Dallas over the last, you know, month. They gave up a historic game to James Cook, and Aaron Jones is, you know, very similar to running back style to James Cook. And, you know, they just get gashed by these explosive running backs. And I just don't think that San Francisco is going to allow Green Bay to do that. I think they're going to force Jordan Love to beat them. And so I like Aaron Jones. I think his role is safe and fine, but I think he's going to be elevated in ownership based off of last week's performance. And then you've got, you know, Pacheco has got a tougher matchup in Buffalo, but again, has a really good role locked in there. You know, both Gibbs and Montgomery, we talked about, you know, Detroit's probably going to want to throw the ball. They already showed that they wanted to do it earlier this year when they matched up, and teams all year wanted to throw against Tampa Bay. And then that pretty much leaves James Cook left for me. And we mentioned it, you know, we've mentioned it all year that Kansas City gets shredded by pass catching running backs. So I actually like the idea, if you're playing Josh Allen, to stack him with James Cook and, you know, get the James Cook receiving ability through the air. And James Cook scored 25 DK points against Kansas City earlier this year, and it was because of his pass game usage. So if there was a running back that's going to catch a lot of passes and possibly score through the air, I think it's James Cook this week.
Excuse me. A couple of things that I would mention here. Now, it's Christian McCaffrey, so I'm not going to dig too far into this. But what I will say, since week 15, over basically the last four games of regular season, this Green Bay defense has actually been pretty good against the run. They've actually allowed the fourth fewest rushing yards per game. And their stuff ranked top 12 in the league over the last four games as well. So they've actually been a little bit better as well as explosive run rate. They have the third lowest explosive run rate allowed to running backs over that span. Again, for the whole sample size, they were really good or really bad against the run. And it looks like they kind of tightened things up a little bit. One thing I will say, though, is you can run on this San Francisco team. We talked about this last week with Dallas. Dallas is a team that you can easily run on. And San Francisco is the same way. I mean, if you look at San Francisco, they are top 8 in rushing yards per game over their last four games. Their stuff rate is right down there at the lowest in the league. They're actually the third lowest rate in the league in terms of stuff rank. Yards after contact per attempt is they rank third in yards after contact per attempt to running backs. So I do think Aaron Jones, whether A.J. Dillon plays or not, I think Aaron Jones is in a really, really good spot here. He finally had that monster game. He finally scored a touchdown. That was kind of been the thing that kind of been holding him back. But dropped a 35 burger. Now, I think people might chase him, but still, I still think it's in a really good spot. $6,700 against San Francisco. So I think he is definitely in play. With Jerick McKinnon being out, we have seen Isaiah Pacheco kind of be the true workhorse. He saw 24 carries in last week's game against the Dolphins, 89 yards and a score in that one. He has shown some games where he has the ability to see a ceiling. In most games, last week they didn't really have to throw the ball much, so they didn't have to really utilize him in the passing game. I think that could ramp back up as definitely an option. We have to remember, too, the last time these two teams played, Buffalo and the Chiefs, Isaiah Pacheco didn't play. He was out in that game, and so that obviously played a factor with him, but he will be back. But we've seen games where he has seen 7 and 5, you know, 7, 4, 3, 5 targets, you know, with Jerick McKinnon out. So I think he can easily see a 20-plus point upside. He's $6,400. He's on the cheaper side in terms of all the running backs that are sitting out here. Another sneaky one might be Devin Singletary as well. Last week, you know, he saw 13 carries, 66 yards. He's also a little bit involved in the passing game. Sees 3 or more targets in 4 of his last 5 games as well. But Baltimore is another team that you can run on here. They're right behind San Francisco in terms of some of these numbers. Rushing yards per game, they allow the 9th most rushing yards per game to opposing running backs as well. Their stuff rate is right down there with them as well. They allow the fifth lowest stuff rate in the league. So this is also a team that you can run on. Explosive run rate is also really high. They've allowed the fifth highest explosive run rate to running backs. So Devin Singletary, who's only 5,700, I think you could look there as well as another option to stack with this game, this Baltimore game on the first game on the slate. So Devin Singletary, who I expect to probably be a little bit low owned, I think he shouldn't be because Damian Pierce is not involved at all. I think he's only played 41 total snaps over the last four games. So he has been completely phased out. It's been Devin Singletary's backfield for the most part. And then you have Dario Ogunbowale mixing in a little bit. So $5,700 Devin Singletary, I think, is another direction you can look at here for running back. But I'm going to be pretty concentrated on, I think, Aaron Jones, Pacheco, and I'll have some Devin Singletary in there as well. I'm not as excited to play the Detroit Lion running backs. I think if I did, it's Jahmyr Gibbs. David Montgomery can always get there by scoring multiple touchdowns. But as you said, Tampa Bay's running back or defense has been very good against the run. They've been stingy against it all year. This isn't a game that I'm going to get cute and go with some Detroit running backs. So I don't have any interest there. But is there any other running backs you want to hit on?
No.
Let's jump over to wide receivers. I already kind of hit on some of these guys. Amon Ross St. Brown is 8,200. Debo Samuel, Mike Evans, Nico Collins, and Stephon Diggs are all in the 7K range. The 6K range is Brandon Ayuk, Rashee Rice, Chris Godwin, Zay Flowers here. One interesting note that I do want to mention is Derek Stingley was phenomenal last week. And he actually, something they haven't done with him all year is he actually shadowed Amari Cooper. And I wonder if that's what they do with him this week against Zay Flowers. Now, Zay Flowers isn't necessarily on the same scale as Amari Cooper, but he was phenomenal in that game. And I do wonder if that's what they do with him against this Baltimore team.
Well, also, too, if Mark Andrews is back, I think Andrews kills Zay Flowers' role. I mean, Zay Flowers didn't have a ceiling until Mark Andrews got hurt this year. So they operate in a lot of the same ways. And I think Andrews coming back, like if you think that Andrews is limited, I think that just throws a wrench into everything from a Baltimore perspective, because, you know, Andrews is going to get high value targets near the end zone, in the end zone. So that takes away Isaiah Likely. It takes away touchdown upside from all these other guys like Odell and Zay and Bateman. So it's just, but at the same time, you don't want to play Andrews because, if he's not going to be on the field, for every snap, I mean, he's not going to be able to rack up yards. And that, at that point, you would need two touchdowns. And even then, he's not necessarily breaking the slate. Catches three balls for 20 yards and two scores. I mean, that's a good score. I guess two touchdowns would probably be fine. But, it seems like if he's going to play, he might not play, a full allotment, but he is practicing in full. So that's definitely a report we need to pay attention to heading into the weekend, because it will impact these receivers for Baltimore. But I do think there are some good receivers that are value receivers this week. We mentioned the Detroit Tampa Bay game at the top. Jameson Williams and Josh Reynolds are both really good plays, assuming Khalif Raymond's out. Trey Palmer on the other side of that. Palmer actually has had a role the entire year, getting a handful of targets a game. He's a big speed guy, and Detroit has shown that they can struggle with speed. So Palmer's another good spot. Watson for Green Bay, assuming he plays. He played in that game last week, so he should be good to go. Again, you mentioned it's a good spot for the Green Bay receivers. And if everybody's loading up Reed and Dobbs, Watson's only 4,200, and we know, he does have, big playability. So I definitely think he's interesting. And then if Andrews were to sit out, I definitely would have more interest in like an Odell or a Bateman. But again, Baltimore just rotates in so many guys, like Aguilar gets in there and gets snaps. I would focus more on the Detroit and Tampa Bay values or even Christian Watson as well. So those are the value guys I like. And then up top, I really like Amon-Ra. I'm probably just going to play Amon-Ra and McCaffrey and then figure out the rest. And outside of Amon-Ra, Brandon Ayuk is under 7K, and that seems I guess that's pretty in line with where he's been all year. He's been right around that 7K mark, but I guess it just feels low considering his ceiling. We've seen him multiple times get into that 25 to 30 point range this year. and under 7K against Green Bay. It feels like a good spot for Ayuk, especially if, you know, if Green Bay's run D does hold up a little bit, that takes away value from Debo, because they like to use Debo in the run game as well, when they're able to, you know, kind of push teams around. So if they have to resort to the air, I think that's more of a boost to Ayuk and Kittle than it is Debo. But I do think McCaffrey's going to have a good game regardless, whether it's on the ground or through the air, and still like Ayuk there. So those are kind of the receivers that I'm focused on. I'm, you know, like I said, I'm pretty much out on Evans. I probably won't play Nico Collins. I've been out on Stephon Diggs. Rashee Rice is probably the only other guy that I'd like to pay up for, just because of how solid his role is. And Buffalo, you know, showed that they can give up big games to Pickens and Deontay Johnson last week. So I don't know, like, what, so why can't they do the same for Rice and Mahomes? And Rice had a good game against them, you know, when they played earlier this year as well. So he's just a really good player. And I think he's a really good player this week. So I like Rashee Rice as well.
Yeah. So I think when you look at some of these options at wide receiver, oh, I already kind of talked a little bit about Houston, but I do want to mention, I mean, last week, Nico Collins saw a 34% target share last week, which is pretty good. And then, like I said, you're going to have no Noah Brown. He will not be available. He is hurt. John Mechie, though, as I mentioned, he actually ran 68% of the routes, saw a 15% target share last week, which is more than even Robert Woods, who ran 36% of the routes, saw a 10% target share. And then you had Xavier Hutchinson, who also ran 32% of the routes. So it feels like Robert Woods and Hutchinson are splitting touches. But John Mechie with Noah Brown out, it feels like he's probably going to be on the field almost every single down. So $3,400 John Mechie, I think, is definitely something that I would have interest in, especially if I'm looking to pay up for the pay-up options like Amon-Ra St. Brown and Christian McCaffrey at wide receivers. I really like Nico Collins. I mean, it's pretty easy play, especially if you look at, like I said, Marlon Humphrey is going to be out. That is going to hurt this secondary. The rest of their secondary pieces aren't anything to really be that overly concerned with. You have Stevens, who is kind of the player that every team seems to target for the Baltimore Ravens. He's going to be out there, but I believe he's dealing with a sickness. We'll have to see on that, but I do think he's going to play. And then you also have Ronald Darby's old ass that I'm not worried about.
If you own a vehicle with less than 200,000 miles and have an auto warranty about to expire or no warranty coverage at all, listen up. CarShield has a low-cost, month-to-month vehicle protection plan that covers more parts than ever. Visit carshield.com/audio to find out how you could pay almost nothing for covered auto repairs. Drivers who activate this vehicle protection today will also receive free roadside assistance, free towing, and car rental options at no additional cost. Get your free quote today at carshield.com/audio. That's carshield.com/audio.
Save big money at Menards. Let the fresh air in and keep the bugs out with replacement screen for your doors and windows from AdForce. It's easy to install, durable against the elements, and comes in a variety of types to suit your needs. Repair your screens today with a roll of replacement screen on sale through May 5th. And check out more great deals happening now in our weekly flyer on Menards.com.
Save big money at Menards.
Out. So I think Nico Collins can absolutely crush him. Nico Collins has been someone that can definitely show a ceiling. The last two games, he has put up 37.5 and 22. And really, they smashed Cleveland. They didn't really have to do anything, you know, later in that game, or else it could have been a lot worse for Cleveland there, that 45-14 beatdown. So Nico Collins is 100% in play for me. Rashee Rice, I totally agree. He's another guy that just sees such an incredible workload here within this offense. Last week, he ran 91% of the routes, saw a 31% target share at his cost of $6,800. He's on the cheaper end in terms of the stud wide receivers anyways. But at 31% target share, nobody else really saw anything close to him. Mecole Hardman ran 44% of the routes. Justin Watson ran 65% of the routes. They did get back. Sky Moore's window was opened, and Kadarius Toney as well, but I don't think either one of them are going to play in this game, to be honest with you. I think all the everything's going to flow through Rashee Rice as it has been. So I do think Rashee Rice is another option. I like him a lot. He was only like 6% owned last week. I was shocked at how low owned he was. He was a pretty easy play to fit in there. I'm not all that excited to play Zay Flowers, like you already mentioned, with Mark Andrews coming back. Plus, I think Derek Stingley could end up shadow covering him here to kind of take him away. I actually think Odell is in a pretty good spot. I think this is kind of what they've been saving him for all year, was this type of matchup where, you know, they didn't really want to use him as much. He was more of a part-time player. I think you could see them unleash Odell Beckham and play much more closer to 80, 90% of the snaps here now we're into the playoffs. So Odell at $4,600. Khalil Shakir, it looks like Gabe Davis isn't going to play. He's once again missed each of the last 2 weeks. This was a game for them last week where they kind of took over. They didn't really have to throw the ball as much. But Khalil Shakir did have that big run, which was pretty impressive, with 31 yards and his touchdown last week for him. But I think he could get there as well, especially if the Chiefs push them pretty hard. I think Khalil Shakir is another value play at $3,800, but I suspect he's probably going to be one of the more popular value plays. I think John Mechie might be the guy that I like the most in terms of all the paydown options this week. But I think that's kind of where I'm going to come in at. Like I've already said, I'm going to kind of paint a flag on Jaden Reed. I know he didn't really work out last week. Christian Watson, I would expect to be more involved in the passing game than he was last week. Now, that was his first game back. They kind of eased him back in. He played 38% of the routes, only a 5% target share. Romeo Doubs, 76% of the routes with a 30% target share last week. And then Jaden Reed ran 52% of the routes. Like I said, they got up pretty quickly. I feel like that some of that had to do with why Jaden Reed didn't see the field as much. But it is a little bit crowded with Romeo Doubs, Christian Watson, Jaden Reed, Dontavian Wicks, and Bo Melton all mixing in and all running routes and getting targets. So it does make it something where maybe you just kind of avoid playing any Green Bay wide receiver or taking a stand on one. And I'm perfectly okay to do so with Jaden Reed here at wide receiver. But that's kind of what I'm talking about. But I do have interest in playing Mike Evans. I think Mike Evans can crush here. The Lions, like I've said, they don't give up they haven't been giving up a ton of touchdowns. But on the year, they still have allowed the third most DK points to the position. They've also top three in touchdowns allowed to wide receivers. They've allowed 22 here. And so I just feel like, though, if Baker Mayfield can hit him on a couple, I mean, Mike Evans should have had a monster day last week. He dropped a couple what should have been touchdowns last week against the Eagles. That day could have been a lot different for Mike Evans, where I think he would have had another huge day. So he's the preferred red zone option as well. So I don't mind getting to Mike Evans if you can fit him in. The only thing I was going to ask you, do you have a preferred lean on the San Francisco wide receivers? Would you rather play Deebo Samuel or Brandon Ayuk?
Okay.
Yeah. I like it. Like because Deebo gets involved a lot with, like, his ceiling comes from yards after catch and, you know, touchdowns, whether that's on the ground or through the air. And in a matchup like this, I think that Purdy's going to have to throw the ball a little bit. And I think it just caters more towards Ayuk than the gadgety type plays with Deebo. So yeah. And Ayuk is cheaper as well.
Yeah. He's 6,900. Yeah.
Because, like, Debo's not going to run hot from a touchdown perspective every single game, you know, like he did those 2 or 3 weeks in a row.
Yeah, he smashed for about week 12 to week 15, and then he's fallen off since then. Week 16, 9.4, yeah. 17, he scored 18.2, and then he scored 5.2. So,
yeah, I mean, two, three, four, five, six, seven touchdowns in those three games.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, that had a lot to do with it. It's
crazy.
Yeah. All right. Let's go ahead and move over to the tight end position, and where you have, once again, a very cheap Travis Kelce at 6K. Then you have Sam Laporta at 5,900. Kittle is 52. Mark Andrews, 5K. And then Kincaid, Likely, Schultz are all in the 4K range. 3K is Luke Musgrave, Kate Otten, Tucker Kraft, excuse me, and Dawson Knox. So what are you looking to do at tight end?
If their name starts with K, I'm playing them. So Kelce, Kittle, Kincaid, and Cade Otten. Those are the four.
There you have it, folks. Just starts with K. Yeah.
If it starts with K, whether it's K-I or C-A, that's the rule for this week for playing tight end. No, but yeah, Kelce, you know, he saw 10 targets last week. He saw a good amount of targets against Buffalo earlier this year as well. For whatever reason, Kelce's issue has been drops this year. Like, I'm sure you can attest to watching every single minute of every single Chiefs game. It just seems like Kelce has just dropped a lot of wide open passes and even a couple touchdowns. So I still think there is a ceiling there for him. And I think, you know, people are going to look at a 6K price tag and be like, eh, he's washed. I'm not necessarily going to pay that. You know, normally if you told me we had Kelce at 6K when he's usually an 8K tight end on a 4-game slate, I would tell you he was going to be 65% owned, but I think he's going to come in at like 20 to 25. So you're definitely going to get a discount on ownership, due to his lack of ability to put up a ceiling this year. But I mean, the role is still there, right? Like, he's going to be heavily involved. And he has flashed a ceiling this year, like 19, 23, 24, 38, 16, 15, a couple 14s. Like his ability to score points is still there. So I think Kelce is, I'm not going to overthink that. I like Kelce a lot. Kittle as well. You know, I already mentioned I liked Purdy. It's a really good spot for Kittle against Green Bay. Green Bay hasn't covered tight ends the entire season. Kincaid is another one that gets a boost from Gabe Davis being out. It's you know, especially if Diggs is not going to have a good game being followed around by Snead. You know, Kansas City has shut down wide receivers all year, which I wasn't on Shakir last week. And I'm not going to be on him again this week. And if Shakir doesn't break that tackle, he scores like 5 points, without that abysmal tackling from the Steelers allowing him to score that touchdown. So I think Shakir is going to be one of the more popular values, and I just don't like him. I think Cook and Kincaid are the two options that Buffalo leans into, because tight ends and running backs are where, you know, offenses have had to filter their volume against Kansas City's defense this year. So I like them. And then obviously Kate Otten had a big week last week against Philly, but there's nothing to say that he can't do that again against Detroit. You know, 11 targets last week. He only has 4 touchdowns this year, but 3,500. I mean, he has flashed a ceiling of 24 points against Houston in week 9. Only had 2 targets against Detroit earlier this year, but I, you know, 1 game sample is not anything that, you know, I want to fully rely on, but those are the 4 tight ends that I like this week.
Yeah, there's not much else for me to put in. Only thing that I was going to ask you about was the Green Bay situation, or Green Bay, the Baltimore situation. It does sound like Mark Andrews could return. He is questionable. I do think that there's a shot here that he is limited and doesn't get to play a full route tree, especially with as well as Isaiah Likely is playing. Would you have any interest in playing Isaiah Likely?
Yeah, if Andrews is out, absolutely.
Saying with Andrews playing.
Oh, with Andrews playing, no, I'm not playing either of them.
You think they just cannibalize each other?
Yeah.
Because I don't. They have not struck me as a team that feels the need to play both of them on the field at the same time.
Right.
I don't think that happens. And so,
if we get word that Andrews is a full go, I will have interest in Andrews, because people don't want to play tight, like anybody coming off a you know, long term injury. But if there's like reports that Andrews is going to get full allotment of snaps or whatever, I absolutely would play Mark Andrews, because he's one of the only tight ends on the slate that can score twice.
Yeah. And I mean, Houston has struggled against opposing tight ends at times, but it's much more volume based than anything, because they have been targeted second highest rate in the league, you know, against opposing tight ends, allowing 14.1 DK points, but like I said, 145 targets. And then really the same thing with Tampa Bay as well. You can look at there. They have actually allowed the third most DK points to the position as well, 14.9 DK points. They've allowed the third most touchdowns as well to tight ends. So Tampa Bay, I think, is another, you know, so Sam Laporta, who, you know, looked better than what I was expecting him to look coming off that injury last week. He's been limited this week. I do expect him to play. I mean, he wasn't heavily involved, 3 targets, but I felt like, you know, when in terms of that injury that he suffered, that kind of hyperextension bone bruise that he suffered is very similar to what Travis Kelce suffered, you know, earlier in the season. Travis Kelce missed a week and then played. But I do think that I think the second week back is going to help him from that injury. And so Sam Laporta, I think, is in play. I mean, Tampa Bay has been, like I said, really bad against opposing tight ends, 5,900 there. And so I don't mind playing Sam Laporta either. I think more so than anything, I'm probably just going to include what quarterback I pick in my stack. That's probably the way that I'm going to look at it here. in terms of who I'm playing. So I don't have a strong lean on one of them over the other. I if I were to hear that, you know, Mark Andrews is going to be on some sort of a pitch count, which I would expect him to be, then I do think Isaiah Likely, who nobody's going to play, comes into play. He doesn't have to do a lot to beat value either. As long as none of these tight ends go nuclear, if we see kind of, you know, outside of, I guess, Jake Ferguson last week, who did go nuclear at 37, but everybody else was kind of, you know, a little bit lower than that, or much lower than that. If it's much more of like a balanced week in terms of tight end, where you have a bunch of guys who score 15, 16, then I think somebody like Isaiah Likely could definitely meet that. He is on the cheaper side at $4,700. So I don't mind going there if we get some sort of word here that that Mark Andrews is going to be severely limited or anything like that. So let's move over to defense here. And we always start at the bottom. You know, Houston Texans was a defense I know you were on. They ended up coming through with two defensive scores, 21 DK points last week for that defense. But who are you looking at playing this week?
I like the Ravens and I like the Bills defenses, both at home. Ravens if salary wasn't an issue, and Bills if you're looking for a little bit cheaper.
I actually like the Chiefs defense. We have seen Josh Allen at times get in trouble with turning the ball over. Obviously, the Chiefs defense can definitely get home. They have one of the best pass rushes, so fumbling can also be an issue there for Josh Allen. So Chiefs defense at $2,700. And then, you know, if you want to play the Packers, I don't hate it either. You know, like I said, they that's kind of what I'm looking for, right? A team that is going to rush the quarterback at a high rate. That's exactly what the Packers do. Like I said, the third highest rate in the league. If they can get home on and cause Brock Purdy, which we know can make some really bad decisions once he's pressured. Like, you know, perfect example would be that Baltimore game at home where that Baltimore Ravens defense. Now, I don't think the Packers defense is as good as or the Baltimore Ravens or the Packers aren't as good as the Baltimore Ravens defense, but I still think they are good enough to be able to get pressure on a quarterback. And if they could do that, I think they could cause Brock Purdy to make a mistake. All we really need is a pick six. You get something like that or a fumble or a return for a touchdown. And these really cheap defenses are going to pay off. I'm not all that excited about paying up for somebody like the Ravens or the 49ers here. I think I prefer to pay down. Like I said, even the Texans, I think, are in play at $2,900. I'm probably going to stick there and mix between the Texans, Chiefs, and Packers here for my defensive exposure to pay down a little bit to get access to some of these other options here that are a little bit more expensive. So that's kind of the way that I look at defense this week.
Yep, I'm good with that.
Let's go ahead and move over and build a lineup. How do you feel about that?
Let's do it.
All right.
Go ahead and click McCaffrey.
I think we might make two lineups. I want to see what a lineup looks like without him. Just kind of feel... Let's kind of get an idea, because I think it's going to be kind of the linchpin of your team and your lineup construction. So, all right, McCaffrey there. You know, I'm going to go ahead and I'm going to lock in Jordan Love.
All right, let's go. Let's go Jaden Reed.
And then I'm going to play Pacheco at running back.
Let's get our value receiver from our quarterback as well. Let's play Christian Watson. Let's go for a full Green Bay San Francisco stack.
A tight end, I'm going to go ahead. I'm going to play Dalton Kincaid, a little mini stack. So that leaves, what defense do you want to throw in there?
Just put Bills in for now. They're 2,800.
All right. So we do that, at least $5,800 remaining for a wide receiver and a flex. So what I will say is you could play Amon-Ra St. Brown with this, and then it leaves exactly $3,400. Which, if I did that, I would plug in John Mechie for Houston.
I'm good with that if you are.
So that would leave $0 remaining. It would be Jordan Love, Christian McCaffrey, Isaiah Pacheco, Jaden Reed, Christian Watson, Amon-Ra St. Brown, Dalton Kincaid, John Mechie, and Bills defense.
The only other route I saw was instead of Mechie, you play OBJ, and then it gets you either Ayuk for a complete game stack or Rashee Rice. But I'm good with the Mechie Amon-Ra side. I think Amon-Ra smashes.
You could also, if you wanted to do a game stack there with that Baltimore game, you could go Nico at 7,100, Odell at 46, and then just drop down from the Bills.
From the Bills, yeah.
The Chiefs, if you wanted, or the Packers, or whatever.
Yeah, any of those are good routes.
And then you'd have Love, McCaffrey, Pacheco, Jaden Reed, Christian Watson, Nico Collins.
See, it's I don't think it's that hard to build with McCaffrey. I think it's pretty easy, actually. And that's with, I mean, with Amon-Ra too.
All right, let's try this again. This one's going to be a non-Christian McCaffrey line.
All right. Well, go ahead and throw Amon-Ra in, because I don't think you fade both of them. So let's start there.
Let's go Goff.
All right, let's go back to Josh Reynolds. I liked him last week. Let's play him again.
You are the Josh Reynolds whisperer. I'm gonna run Mike Evans.
Let's go James Cook.
And then I'm gonna go Aaron Jones.
Is there a 3K receiver you like? Like, can you play Hutchinson or no?
I think you could. He's gonna be a little
Hardman,
more involved.
McColl.
Yeah, I think your best bet would be a Chiefs wide receiver. And to be fair, fucking McColl Hardman should have had a couple touchdowns, at least one for sure. There was another one that he was held, but yeah, I'm fine with plugging in McColl Hardman
because we can play Kelsey, and then it leaves 3K with Packers D. Obviously, we don't have to play Kelsey. We can go. We have a Green Bay. We don't have any San Fran, so Kittle makes sense there. You can do like Kittle Chiefs leaves 37. I think it's kind of crazy to not play any San Fran guys. So I kind of like the Kittle side. I mean, we can keep McColl Hardman in there and then just pay up all the way for defense.
Yeah, I think
triple stack Goff. We could play Jameson Williams too. I don't think that's a good play, though. I don't think a triple stack makes sense.
I mean, you could go with a little late night hammer and just with no Chiefs, I guess, and go Khalil Shakir at $3,800. I know we already got Cook, so.
We could go Pacheco instead of Cook and have a little mini there. This is what I mean when I said, you know, everybody's kind of priced the same. It's like there's not many sacrifices that are made from going up or down. It's like, it's just kind of just picking guys like Cook and Pacheco are only 100 apart. The defenses are only like 700 apart.
Yeah. That's why I said, I feel like the big question mark for this slate though is going to still be Christian McCaffrey.
Yeah.
Or not to play Christian McCaffrey. Cause like this line, cause so even to play, to do a Pacheco Shakir stack, you have to basically go with the Bucks defense to play the team. You have to play Goff, Pacheco, Aaron Jones, Amon-Ra St. Brown, Josh Reynolds, Mike Evans, George Kittle, Khalil Shakir, and Bucks D. It probably doesn't make a whole lot of sense to go with the Bucks D considering of this, but
you just play point, Packers D.
There's nothing left.
Oh, it's 100 short.
Yeah.
Yeah, I kind of like the other route of going McColl and Kelsey, honestly, compared to that.
And go Cook, you mean? James Cook, go back to the way it was.
Yeah, it'd be Cook, Kelsey, Hardman, and Packers D. There's no San Fran, but they can always spread the ball around. Elijah Mitchell could run one in.
So Goff, James Cook, Aaron Jones, Amon-Ra St. Brown, Josh Reynolds, Mike Evans, Travis Kelsey, McColl Hardman, and Packers defense. With no money remaining. So which team do you like better, the McCaffrey team or this team?
I like the McCaffrey team personally. I really like Green Bay San Francisco game.
Listen, CHB. Utilizing Rashad Penny wouldn't have helped a goddamn thing. Okay. they got absolutely
Oh, man.
The soul crush out of them from that game.
Yeah, that was them in Dallas. Those were the two disaster spots last week.
The crazy part to me is like you knew what they were going to do, that they were going to blitz the hell out of you. And like they had no answer for it.
They had no answer for it.
I'm like, what are we doing? Like try to do something, get some screens going, you know, something to get this you know, you have DeAndre Swift, which is a good pass catching running back. You know, do something to try to, you know, break this blitz, and they wouldn't do it. It was just like he had very little time to throw. Like, I don't know. I think Nick Sirianni is one of those fake sharp head coaches. He's not actually a good coach.
It's because he had Steichen with him last year. Steichen's a beast. I mean, Indy scored a ton of points all year long.
Yeah, and with a lot of it was not even with Anthony Richardson, was with I can't think of his name. Gardner Minshew. So yeah. But anyways, that was a brutal, brutal sight to watch. Though I will say, at least Devontae Smith got there. He had a big game.
He did smash. He's a beast.
I mean, we saw Goddard call Jalen Hurts a bitch on the sideline. I mean, that's good. You know?
God, that's ruthless.
Yeah.
That's the city of brotherly love.
Josh, Jameson Williams week. You know how many times I played Jameson Williams thinking he's going to break out?
But then he does break out and he scores 10 points. It's like he catches two balls for 40 yards and a touchdown.
I would love if he did. You know, I'm gonna be a fish and I'm gonna play him. I'm gonna throw him out there.
Just play Josh Reynolds. He's only $100 more. When he scores two touchdowns, you'll be loving life.
I know we didn't really talk about it, but I do think Rashad Bateman's kind of interesting too. But
yeah, Baltimore just plays so many guys. Because Aguilar gets in there, and Bateman and Flowers and OBJ and Likely and Andrews and both running backs and Lamar. They have legit 11 guys that can score touchdowns.
And I just Baltimore's, I feel like of all the teams that probably have the most pressure on them this weekend, I think it might be Baltimore or the Bills. Because two teams that have kind of really struggled in the playoffs, the Baltimore has really struggled in the playoffs. That's kind of been the big problem with Lamar Jackson, as has been his struggle in the playoffs. And then the same thing with the Bills. I mean, the Chiefs have just kind of had their number every single time in the playoffs. I think the Bills are 3-1 with Josh Allen in the regular season, and they're 0-2 in the playoffs. So eventually they're going to get that monkey off their back, I think. And it wouldn't shock me if it was this weekend. They are at home. This is kind of Patrick Mahomes. I mean, we should do a drinking game for how many times they say this is Patrick Mahomes' first road playoff game this weekend, because they're going to say it a fucking lot. Because that's all I've heard.
Tony Romo is just got a major stiffy for Josh Allen and Patrick Mahomes facing off this week.
Yeah. So it's all going to be talked about.
It's going to be bad.
Yeah, it's going to be mentioned a million times.
Yeah.
But I don't know. I think this weekend is a really solid group of games outside of the Bucks, who I think are probably the worst team that are left. I think they're pretty average. At best.
Yeah, it's funny. I saw somebody posted that in week one, the Ravens were like picked in 36% of survivor pools, and that was like one of the highest percentage picks of the year. And they played Houston in week one, and now they're facing off to go to the AFC Conference Championship, which is crazy.
Oh man,
like how far we've come, right? Like the Ravens were just a slam dunk lock in week one, and now it's like not so fast.
Because CJ Stroud has been a baller this year. He's been phenomenal.
Man, I wish they had Tank Dell healthy this week. I think the Ravens win. I think Houston's just dealing with too many injuries. Tank Dell's out. Noah Brown's out. They're going to be relying on Mechie, and they still have Nico Collins, but Baltimore is some other tight ends, so Schultz isn't going to really make a huge impact. It's really going to be Nico Collins and nobody else. It's like Robert Woods is dead. Yeah, he's dead. And Mechie, you know, Mechie just runs wind sprints a lot. I would love to see Houston win. I'm a fan of CJ Stroud, but I just don't know. I don't know if they can hold up again.
Carolina has been kicking themselves for trading up, giving away DJ Moore, and drafting Bryce Young.
Yeah, imagine if they had a Stroud with DJ Moore. It'd be kind of sick.
Yeah. Yeah.
And then they're interviewing the Bucks OC now. Carolina is.
I wouldn't want to go there. Like, I know there's only, you know, 32 of these jobs to be a head coach, but just seeing what Tepper has done and the wild shit there, like, because by all accounts, it sounded like Frank Reich, not that Frank Reich was a good coach, but that he wanted CJ Stroud, and it was Tepper who wanted Bryce Young, and that's who they went. Obviously, he's the owner, so that's what they went with. Like, I don't know. It just seems like a really bad situation there. I don't know. I wouldn't want any part of that. So, yeah. I mean, Bill Belichick possibly going to Atlanta. Is Bill Belichick actually a good thing for Atlanta's offense, though? I don't know.
Well, he's not Arthur Smith, so.
Right, right. I watched him bring Josh McDaniels.
The thing with Belichick, though, is he was neutered in New England from making personnel decisions. Like, he wanted to trade Mac Jones and wasn't allowed, and he became handcuffed over the last year or two. So I think if they give him reign in Atlanta, you know, which is probably going to be one of his stipulations, right, is he's going to call the shots and bring in his people that he wants.
Well, that's fine, but they need a GM. Like, he's not a good GM. That's not his thing. When's the last time they drafted the Patriots?
I don't think they've ever drafted a 1,000-yard wide receiver.
A skill position player. Yeah. You know, that made an impact. I mean, Rob Gronkowski.
Yeah.
You know, like, it's just not, I mean, but the Atlanta offense is stacked. Like, you don't.
It is stacked.
Quarterback. And, you know, so maybe I'm sure it'll probably be like Josh McDaniels. I saw Bill O'Brien. He left and went somewhere, college route. So, anyways. I could talk about all this stuff all night, but so let's go ahead and get out of here. Get everybody out of here. We'll be back again next week for the championship round, down to two. Actually, what's your prediction? Who do you got next week that's going to be in the AFC or AFC and NFC championship games?
I think all the home teams win again, except for Dallas. Literally every home team won last week, except for Dallas. I think it's same. I think it's Baltimore, San Fran, Detroit, Buffalo. Chalky pick, but I think that's what happens.
I'm going to go Lions and Packers.
I could see an upset there.
And I'm going to go Ravens and Chiefs.
I could see it.
In the championship.
Yeah, I think Buffalo is going to knock off Baltimore in the AFC championship. And I think San Fran beats Detroit.
I mean, San Francisco. What, so San Francisco, Buffalo, Detroit, Super Bowl.
Yeah, San
I mean,
Francisco.
That would be a lot of fun. I mean, that's a good showdown slate. Super Bowl there.
That's a good, great showdown slate.
My prediction is Green Bay will make it to the Super Bowl. Yeah, but CHP, you're a Packers fan, aren't you? I guess. You know.
Wouldn't that be something? Aaron Rodgers leaves town and the Packers make the Super Bowl.
I mean, I will say this: if the Packers did upset them, that would be. It's definitely on the table then, because I mean they can definitely get past the Lions, which we've already seen them.
Oh yeah, I definitely think that Tampa Bay or Detroit is weaker than both of Green Bay and San Francisco at this point. The only thing is Detroit would be playing at home. That would be nice, but
yeah, but I don't know. There's going to be some sort of upset this weekend, I feel. And maybe it's the Texans knocking off the Ravens. I could easily see that as well. I mean, as well as they played in their defense.
If the Texans were fully healthy, I would like that a lot. I just don't see it with. They literally only have Nico Collins this week.
Maybe that's all you need. Nico's a stud.
Maybe it is. Maybe he goes for 220 and two.
Yeah. So, all right, let's go ahead and get out of here. See everybody next week. Let's put some money this weekend. Stay safe this weekend. There should be, you know, some good weekends of football all around. So if you haven't already, we do have a Discord. It's free. You can find any one of our videos in the link description. So other than that, have a good weekend. Stay safe if you are traveling about. Other than that, win some money this weekend. We'll be back in next Thursday, same time, same place for the championship breakdown. We'll see who was right, who was wrong. Bye.
You can tell me what to do. You know who you're talking to. Well, you better get used to the way the war bounces. I see what you got, inventions and ounces. But that's a brace, boy. Yeah, that's a brace, little man. Break it down. You're a big man. I'll treat you like you're a little man. Don't tell me what it's like to be half a man. It must break your heart to see what I am. But that's a brace, boy. Yeah, that's a brace, little man. Break it down.
If you own a vehicle with less than 200,000 miles and have an auto warranty about to expire or no warranty coverage at all, listen up. CarShield has a low-cost, month-to-month vehicle protection plan that covers more parts than ever. Visit carshield.com/audio to find out how you could pay almost nothing for covered auto repairs. Drivers who activate this vehicle protection today will also receive free roadside assistance, free towing, and car rental options at no additional cost. Get your free quote today at carshield.com/audio. That's carshield.com/audio.
Save big money on your outdoor project now at Menards. We have everything you need to keep your outdoor power equipment running smooth, so you can keep that lawn in tip-top shape or enjoy some time on your boat. Right now, all FVP, lawn and garden, and marine batteries are on sale through May 5th. Check out our entire selection of FVP batteries today and view our weekly flyer on Menards.com for more great deals.
Save